This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodl Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
So it's the Christmas party here at the Jodl Bank Centre for Astrophysics, and we've randomly managed to grab Dr. Jan Kami from the University of Western Ontario for an impromptu interview. Welcome to the Jodcast.
Well, nice to be here. Pleasant surprise at the Christmas party, by the
way. It's not the normal thing we do here.
Oh, I see.
So you had quite an exciting discovery recently, and we actually covered it in the August news, August 2010. So could you tell us about this and what you found?
Absolutely, yes. We discovered buckyballs in space. Buckyballs are these football-shaped, well, in North America I have to say soccer-shaped, but here I can say football, right? So football-shaped yes. Molecules of 60 carbon atoms. They were only discovered on Earth in 1985 in laboratory experiments. And so people have been looking for these fullerenes, these buckyballs in space since then, because they're very stable molecules, and we believe that they would be ideally suited to survive the harsh conditions in the interstellar medium. But up to now, we didn't find them, and we happened to find them and be able to prove that indeed what we're seeing are buckyballs.
So the interstellar medium, that's the gas and dust in between stars.
That's right. It's not empty space. It kind of looks like that sometimes, but in between the stars, there's plenty of gas and dust. And in fact, where we found the buckyballs was not really in between the stars. We found them in a planetary nebula. That's an old star, pretty much what the sun will be in 5-6 billion years. Old stars that kind of shed their outer layers. And in that material, there's all sorts of chemistry going on. For me, in this case, apparently buckyballs.
What instruments did you use to find these? How did you go about searching for them?
We used the infrared spectrograph on board the Spitzer Space Telescope. And in this case, the observations that we used were part of the Spitzer archive. So the observations were done in 2005. But the data has been publicly available since 2006. And so we pretty much just grabbed the data from the archive.
And you just got lucky.
Well, yes, in a sense we got lucky, but luck favors the prepared mind, so...
So, buckyballs in space, very exciting. What does it lead to? What is the bigger picture with finding them? How does it change our view of space?
That's a very good question. If we would only find buckyballs in one planetary nebula, then it would just be a very cute, interesting find, and that would be it. Interestingly enough, since we found these buckyballs and published it over the summer... these buckyballs have now been found in many more planetary nebula, including in other galaxies, but they have also been found in reflection nebula, in Arc Corona Borealis stars, in star forming regions, in the diffuse interstellar medium. So now they have been found pretty much everywhere. So they really are omnipresent, very abundant, everywhere you look, pretty much. So that in itself, of course, is very interesting, because it might mean that we now have found a way that we can actually probe circumstellar and interstellar environments. We can use these spectral signatures of the fullerenes to determine temperatures, for instance, which might be very useful. There's other molecules that we can use for the same sort of purposes, but it seems that these fullerenes are a bit more stable, so we might be able to use them as probes in more extreme environments.
What do you exactly mean by stable?
They survive. I mean, space is a very unforgiving environment. If you go out there, it's not a healthy place to be. There's all sorts of cosmic rays being shot at you. It's a low density environment. So you need to be very strong to survive there. And so it's in space, it's really a survival of the fittest. And only those molecules can survive that have what it takes to survive. So they need to be able to stand high doses of UV radiation, for instance. And so these buckyballs are ideally suited for that sort of situations.
And do other elements form these buckyball shapes, or is it just carbon that does them?
There are buckyballs that have been constructed from other elements. However, we don't think that in space those would actually occur. What you need in space is you make molecules from whatever materials are available. And from all materials that are available, carbon is the ideal candidate, because it's a very social type of chemical element. It likes to make bonds with all sorts of other species. That doesn't hold for many other elements like silicon or sulfur, for instance. And at the same time, if you want to be a survivor, you need to have very strong bonds. And carbon-carbon bonds, for instance, are extremely strong for that sort of purposes. So carbon has the advantage that at the same time there's a lot of it, There's much more carbon than silicon and sulfur, for instance. And at the same time, if you form a bond with carbon, there's a much higher chance that you will have a strong bond and a stable molecule.
So on Earth, all life forms are based on carbon. Is a buckyball some way that you could maybe get life in space, or is that just me going crazy now?
Well, you would certainly not be the only one that's going crazy about this. There's a well-known theory called the panspermia theory. It says that a lot of the ingredients for life, you know, even maybe microbes and bacteria, were brought to Earth from space. I think most astronomers think that something maybe at a smaller or lower level is going on, where a lot of the complex chemicals that we need for life on Earth are brought in things like amino acids, for instance. If you look at meteorites, in meteorites we have found 80 amino acids, whereas all life on Earth only need 20, and then those 20 we found in meteorites as well. So that kind of simplifies what you need to do on the early Earth to actually form life, if you have all these complex building blocks available. And there's been some suggestions that you could lock up in these buckyball cages, you could lock up some of these complex molecules. But the presence of these buckyballs themselves, they're fairly complex structure, right? I mean, it's Mother Nature building a football from carbon. So that shows that in space, sometimes it is actually easier to form complex molecules than it might be on Earth. And that if you bring them in on meteorites or comets, then that might make it much easier to make even more complex molecules on Earth.
So you say you have these complex molecules within the buckyball. So is a buckyball just the shell of a football, or is it a full 3D structure?
Well, it is technically the shell. If on a football you would replace all the vertices by a carbon atom, that's when you would have a C60 okay. molecule. So that would be a bit of a fullerene cage, it's called.
Yeah.
And you can lock things up in the C60 cage, but it cannot be too big. I mean yeah. Obviously it has to be smaller than the football. But so you can lock up atoms and small molecules in there, in principle.
So what's the future for this research? Where are you hoping this leads?
Well, this is the beginning. We've been searching for these buckyballs for a long time. Now that we found them, we can start seeing how they form. Are they indeed as stable and abundant in space as we think they should be? And let's study their role, especially in interstellar chemistry. I think certainly for this place, that's kind of an interesting avenue. If you look at C60, for instance, if you ionize it, if you make C60+, then pretty much whatever you shoot at a buckyball, any atom or any molecule will react on the outer surface of these buckyballs. As you will make new compounds, fluorine compounds, that might lead, for instance, one of the things you can make on the surface of a buckyball is H2. So that would be a process that could work in space. If you have fluorines, you have H2 formation on the surface, and you eject the H2. That's a chemical route that you could use to form molecular hydrogen. And probably there's many more complex chemical networks that you could think of to build on the surface of a buckyball that we haven't studied yet. So about typically 1% of the cosmic carbon is in these buckyballs. So for a single molecule, that's actually a large amount of carbon. So it's certainly something that we need to look at.
Well, good luck for the future, and thank you for taking time out from the party to come and talk to us today.
Thank you very much. My pleasure. And the beer was gone anyways.
Thank you.